It is time for the Media Beat from David Tereshchuk, his weekly review of media coverage for Robinhood Radio and exclusive to Robinhood Radio. David is a multimedia and international journalist with his own online column at themediabeat.us. And as a special correspondent since 2012, he has contributed TV reports to the PBS network, mostly on ethical issues. Here's David.
This is David Tereshchuk with the Media Beat for the weekend beginning February 9th, 2024. For my sins, perhaps, or simply because I must patrol my beat through the media, I have to pay attention to a broad range of outlets. Fox News is really worth studying. It can be a helpful guide to just how the Republican Party might jump when facing certain challenging policy quandaries. That's not to say Fox always gets things right, even in its own terms. It did, we must bear in mind, embarrassingly and fulsomely support Florida Governor Ron DeSantis when he started his doomed presidential run. This was at a time when Fox News had soured, and this means their still influential founding overlord Rupert Murdoch had soured on Donald Trump. We know how well that went. Now that DeSantis is well and truly squashed, and Trump is the presumptive GOP nominee, Fox has, of course, had to fall in line behind the ex-president. But here, as in many instances of difficult choices, watching just how Fox deals with the awkward, the troublesome, the downright dangerous can be very revealing. Trump may well be the nominee, but Fox's political analysts, shall we call them that, as opposed to readers of the runes, diviners of animal entrails, maybe? They know full well how easy it's been for Trump to rely fully on his own adoring base during the primary season. But for the broader electorate who will vote in the actual presidential contest, the challenge is very different. Perhaps it's gotten even tougher in the wake of the federal court decision this week, denying Trump his desired immunity from criminal prosecution, although that, of course, is being appealed. And speaking of appeals, the highest court of appeal, those occasionally vocal supremes, are now already considering the matter of Trump's eligibility or ineligibility to even be on the ballot after hearing oral arguments about it on Thursday. Quite apart from the legal perils, though, just what is now on the political agenda in the Fox War Room, if we can take a peek in there? First, campaign planners of any persuasion will always, every presidential year, be looking over their shoulder at the most recent midterms, in this case the 2022 midterms, that were surprisingly positive for President Joe Biden and the Democrats. And the resonance of those midterms is still worrying the Fox people. The main worry is over that pesky matter of abortion. Rarely has the adage, "be careful what you wish for," appeared more apt. So-called right-to-lifers might have been very happy that the rightward-tilting Supreme Bench, by then including three Trump nominees, of course, toppled the Roe v. Wade right-to-choose precedent after nearly 50 years of it being the law of the land. But 4 months after that toppling, the anger and anxiety of women about losing their rights registered to a remarkable strong effect in the midterms. And since then, there's been little of the easing off in this protest vote that conservative commentators told us to expect with time, especially at the state and local level. Instead, there's been a variety of pro-abortion voting results, like ballot initiatives succeeding and individual pro-choice candidates taking office, all committed to the best protection for abortion rights now possible in the aftermath of Roe's overthrow. And this trend was confirmed again in one single day, Election Day, November 2023, when within hours of each other there was a decisive 13-point victory for protecting abortion rights in the red state of Ohio, wins for Democrats in Virginia's legislature defeating Republican plans to roll back abortion access further, and the thumping re-election of Kentucky's Democratic Governor Andy Beshear, who made protecting abortion rights in his red state central to his campaign. The electoral pressure is clearly on, and no one knows that better than Fox's haruspices. Did you know that's the term for entrails diviners? I didn't until I looked it up. In the months since those resounding November defeats, evidence of Fox's worries has been making itself clear on screen. The show Fox and Friends, Trump's own pet broadcast once upon a time, has featured, for instance, the failed GOP candidate for governor of Michigan, Tudor Dixon, a prominent Trump ally, and she was saying very bluntly that abortion restrictions, quote, are not where the people are. She went on, people in America do not like bans. She meant especially the abortion ban, of course, and the Republican Party has not figured out how to talk about this yet. But never fear, Republicans, there are many experts ready to help you with that figuring out of how to talk about the issue, especially on the Fox Channel. Appearing in Fox's Special Report program, Lee Carter, who runs a consultancy firm specializing in what it calls language strategy, told viewers that Republicans must, I quote, stop using that word ban and instead push a message that says, we're going to put women and babies first. And political consultant Jano Caldwell, who is often given on screen the official label Fox Political Analyst, said Republicans need to not necessarily change values, but at least change their approach to the issue and not demonize women. That sounds like good advice, not to demonize more than half our population. And from her authoritative anchor seat, Fox host Kayleigh McEnany, formerly Trump's White House press secretary, remember, urged Republicans to change their messaging this way. We as a party must be pro-mother because we're looking down a very dim election road should we not change our rhetoric on abortion. For ultimate guidance, though, there's always the strategist-in-chief, isn't there, Trump himself. He has claimed the title most pro-life president in history, and he often touts his role in appointing those three Supreme Court justices who helped overturn Roe. But the truth is, he's been very reluctant to offer specifics on where he stands now regarding further abortion restrictions. In response, for instance, to the right-wing Heritage Foundation, often a decisive pressure group within the GOP, when it rattled its sabers and called on the next Republican president to restrict access to abortion drugs and emergency contraception, as well as weakening whatever federal protections for abortion clinics might still remain on our statute books. Alongside Trump's uncharacteristic tactic of trying to keep quiet about it all, he has said, perhaps instructively, that some Republican positions on abortion have been what he called too harsh. It's fascinating, isn't it, what can happen sometimes when a complete narcissist ends up stumbling into a political reality. In a recent speech, Trump said, and this is now starting to sound very familiar among Republicans, politicians don't know how to talk about it, and he warned that if they don't speak about it correctly, they're not going to win. That's the crucial concern at the heart of it, of course, the possibility of not going to win. In this still early part of the year, I've been drawn to output from another branch of the multi-limbed Murdoch media empire besides Fox News, the Wall Street Journal. It's a long time since the Journal reported solely on finance and all the complex tables of numbers that such reporting entails. The WSJ can instead often now resemble many less specialist forms of newspaper and even, dare I say, tabloid papers. Months and months of dedicated investigative reporting resulted in the Journal publishing some breathless allegations under that beloved tabloid banner word, exclusive, that Elon Musk has done drugs with friends and fellow directors in his businesses. Cocaine, LSD, ecstasy, certain mushrooms, and ketamine were all mentioned, the last a substance that Musk has previously acknowledged that he has a prescription for, to treat depression. The Journal, though, painted a vivid picture of the Tesla chief using it recreationally, inhaling from a nasal spray bottle multiple times while partying at an upscale hotel in Austin. It also cited witnesses claiming to see Musk drinking a liquid form of ecstasy at a party in the Hollywood Hills. His retinue of bodyguards evidently cleared the room, seeking privacy for him. The paper reported that such drug use had become a major cause for concern among Musk's own circle. A former Tesla board member, Larry Ellison, who's a major investor to the tune of billions in Musk's SpaceX company and in X, the former Twitter, is alleged in the article to have offered Musk the use of his home in Hawaii to get professional help and be weaned off of drug use. There was no evidence presented about Musk's response to such an offer. The journal's reporting appeared at a delicate time, it could be said. The Tesla Model Y was declared the most recalled car in America for the past decade, according to AutoWeek from Hearst Media. A judge in Delaware State's Court of Chancery, a frequent venue for big business lawsuits, ordered the scrapping of Tesla's $56 billion pay package for Musk, describing it as unfathomable and unfair on the company's shareholders. And as often, the harshest judge was perhaps the marketplace. A headline in the global business news site Quartz said, "Tesla is worst-performing stock in the S&P 500 this year." These headline writers know how to hurt. "Worse than Boeing," was one summary, with, of course, airplanes blown off doorways in mind and holes in fuselages being drilled in the wrong places. And what about Musk himself? In response to the drugs allegations, he inevitably took to the X-verse, which I suppose is what you must now call the old Twitterverse. He typed that random drug tests he underwent showed that, and I quote, "not even trace quantities were found of any drugs or alcohol. The Wall Street Journal, not fit to line a parrot cage for bird," and here he added an emoji commonly used for excrement. But I have to say, it doesn't look anything like a parrot's excrement. But then, as everybody knows who has to follow Musk, it is one of the CEO's favorite emojis. That's all from the Media Beat this week. If you have been, thanks for listening.
Thank you very much, David. We will talk to you next week. David can be found at themediabeat.us.